All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. We have a lot to do today. Baruch Hashem, a lot of beautiful Gemara. Our shir this morning is dedicated. This month is dedicated by Yonah and Shishi Ehrenfeld in memory of Yonah's grandfather, whose yahrzeit is approaching, Reb Gedalia Ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Shem will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And also, we dedicate to learning the Schus of Refuah Shleima for Sima Bas Miriam, with the hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah she will have a complete and enduring Refuah. So let's begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. So we left off, today's daf is Kuf Gimel, 103. We left off on Kuf Beis, Amud Beis, 102b. And we left off again, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom, Vayas Achav. Vayas Achav es HaSherah, Vayosef Achav Lasos Lahachis es HaShem Elokei Yisrael, Mikol Malchi Yisrael Asher Hayu Lefanov. So Achav, again remember we're talking about the evil kings of Israel. So Achav continues to go ahead and do things to upset HaKadosh Baruch Hu by worshipping Avodah Zarah. So what happens? So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, what does this mean? Shekasov al dato shomor Achav kafar b'elokei Yisrael. That Rabbi Yochanan says that Achav wrote on the doors to the city of Shomron that Achav has no Achav has no faith. Achav is kafar. He renounces his faith in the God of Israel. V'ichach ein lo chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Therefore, again, he has no portion in the God of Israel. Vayivakesh es Achazyah. So we're skipping forward a little bit. This is not talking about King Yehu. King Yehu was charged with the task of wiping out the family of Achav. So vayivakesh es Achazyah. Vayokodehu v'mischav b'shomron. So he hunts down a man by the name of Achazyah, and he goes in and he kills him, and Achazyah was hiding in Shomron. Amrav Levi, what did Achazyah do? Sheyakodya askaros v'kosei avodas kocham tachteim. He would cut out the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Torah and write the names of Avodah Zarah instead. I'll say this is pretty serious stuff. Menashe, why was his name, jumping back now, King Menashe. Why was he called King Menashe? Shanasha ka, because he forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Davar Acher, another possibility, Menashe, shehin shiyas Yisrael avim sheva shamayim. That he caused Klal Yisrael to forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uminala de lo asi la amad asi. How do you know that Menashe didn't go to Olam Haba? Dichsev, ben shtem esay shonam amalko. Ben shtem esay shonam Menashe amalko. Menashe becomes king at the age of 12. V'chamishim v'chamish shonam amalko v'yushalayim. And he reigned for 55 years. V'yas hara, be'enei Hashem kasha asa Achav melech Yisrael. And he committed evils just like his alter Zayda, right? Just like Achav. He's not his alter Zayda. Ma Achav ein lo chelek olam haba, just like Achav has no portion of the world to come, af Menashe ein lo chelek olam haba. So the fact that the Pasuk links the two tells us just as Achav has no portion in the world to come, so too again Menashe has no portion in the world to come. Rabbi Huda Omer, Menashe yesh lo chelek olam haba. So interesting, Rabbi Huda says, no, Menashe does have a portion in the world to come. Shene emar vayispalo Menashe, el Hashem vayaser lo. Am Rabbi Yochanan, ushnei mikir echadarshu. But we'll say, so fundamental machlokis, does Menashe have a chelek olam haba or doesn't he? And this is a fundamental machlokis based on the drasha of the following pasuk. Shneimar, unesatim lezava lechomam lechosar, it's bigla Menashe ben Yechizkiyahu. Literally, again, I will give the nations for destruction amongst all the kingdoms of the world because of Menashe ben Yechizkiyahu. Mar sara bigla Menashe shasa tshuva ve'inhu lo ovid. So we'll say, some say that Klal Yisrael was condemned because even though Menashe did tshuva, the nation did not. Umar Sar, the other opinion holds, was the top of Kuf Gimel, Biglam Menashe, Dilo Avit Shuva. That it was because of Menashe, because Menashe didn't do Shuva. Okay? So what's the fundamental machlok is, does Menashe have a chelek olam haba or not? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says the following, Kala Omer Menashe en lo chelek olam haba, merape yedein shabali Shuva. But it's actually a very profound statement. Rabbi Yochanan says, whoever said that Menashe doesn't have a chelek in olam haba, literally weakens the hands of Bali Tshuva. And we'll say, what does that mean? The Tani Tana Kameid Rabbi Yochanan, Menashe Asa Tshuva, Vishloshim Vishalosh Shanim. Menashe reigned for 55 years, 22 of them he was a Rasha, 33 of them he did Tshuva. Dichsiv, Ben Shtemusre Shara Menashe Bamalcho, V'chamishim V'chamish Shara Malach B'Yushalayim. So how long did Achav reign for? 22 years. Menashe kama malach. How many years did Menashe reign for? Chamisha mechamishana. He reigned for 55 years. Dal minayu esen v'tartin. So remove from it the reign of Achav, which was 22 years. In other words, that amount of time. Pashaluhut lasen utlas. And it turns out that what? That there are 33 years that Menashe did tshuva. So this is actually very profound. Rabbi Yochanan says, if you tell me that Menashe doesn't have a chiluk in Olam Haba, then what you've done is you've taken the wind out of the sails of Balei Tshuva. Because we always have this conception that Tshuva is always possible. Tshuva is always doable. No matter how much I mess up, Tshuva is always a possibility. If you tell me that even after 33 years of Tshuva, Menashe could not attain a chiluk in Olam Haba, then I could say, what hope is there for me? Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, Menashe must have a chiluk in Olam Haba. The Bible says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rashbi. My tichsiv, Vayishma ilav, Vayachter lo. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, by Menashe, that the Ribono Shel Olam listened to him, Vayachter, and Rabbi say, Vayachter, the Gemara says, Vayasher lo. Vayasher lo means, and he answered him, right? Or he was attentive to him. So the Ribono Shel Olam accepted the pleas of Menashe, to which the Gemara says, Malamed Sha'asal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kamim Machteres. Berekia, Kedila Kablo B'tshuvim of Bnei Midas Adin. It was actually quite beautiful. That the Ribono Shel Olam made like a tunnel for Menashe to tunnel into Shamayim. What does that mean? That the Midas Adin, the divine attribute of justice, said that Menashe should not be welcomed back. Right? Menashe is such a Rasha, he shouldn't be welcomed back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made from like a tunnel, allowed him to tunnel into Shamayim so that he should be able to do tshuva. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rashbi, May Dichsiv, Bereshis Mamlachos Yoyokim Men Yoshio, Uksiv, Bereshis Mamlaches Tzidkiyah. So we'll say, why does the Pasuk talk about this? Speaking about the monarchy of Yehoyakim and the monarchy of Tzidkiyah, use Lashon of Bereshis as if they are the first monarchs. But they're not the first monarchs. V'chiyada idan lohavni malchi. Up until now where they're not kings. Elo. So I say, ultimately, again, Yoyakim was such a rasha, and he engaged in so much avodah zarah that the Ribono Shel Olam wanted to return the world anew, meaning he wanted to destroy the world and restart. Nistakel b'doro, but he looked at the generation of Yoyakim, and there were tzaddikim in the generation. V'niskarer adaito, and the Ribono Shel Olam calmed down. Similarly, and the Ribono Shel Olam wanted to return the world to nothingness, wanted to destroy the world and start again because of the avodah zarah, because of the depraved behavior. But yet, nistakel b'tzidkia v'niskar daito. So what I see is two opposite dynamics. Tzidkia was a tzaddik; the generation was evil. So in Tzidkia's generation, the Ribono Shel Olam wanted to destroy the generation. But in the merit of Tzidkiyahu, he spared the generation. In the generation of Yehoyakim was evil. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the generation, but he looked at the generation, and he saw there were tzaddikim in the generation. So the Gemara says, "Tzidkiyahu namik siv vayasar abeinei Hashem." But one second, but Tzidkiyahu also says that he does what was evil, that which was evil in the eyes of God. To which the Gemara says, "No, what it means is shahaya biyado limchos velo micha." What that means is he could have objected, but he didn't. Also, which is an incredible, incredible yisod. He was the king. He was the king, and there were things happening under his watch, and he did not object. He did not object. So therefore, again, he told us also, which Rabbah says, an incredible yisod in leadership. But also, again, we learn, Rabbah say, very often, any concepts that we're learning by leadership is also a din in parenting as well. That sometimes, again, we see things that are negative, and it's true, with our children, we have to choose our battles. There's no question. But at the same time, if I see my child doing something objectively, that's just not good. I don't mean chas v'shalom life-threatening. That's obvious that you step in. But I see that this is just, it's not a good thing. And I stand idly by and I don't do anything. So the mice, again, there's some level of responsibility in that. The king, any leadership position, right? A person has an opportunity to be a mashpia and doesn't do so. So ultimately, again, there's a responsibility for that. V'am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rashbi, my v'chsev ish chacham nishpat es ish avil, v'ragaz v'sachar v'ein nachos, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Shalom says, Ka'asti al Achaz, v'nasati b'yad malchi demesek. Listen to this. I got angry at Achaz, and therefore I handed him over to the king's malchi demesek, to the kings of Damesek. What did he do when he was captured by the kings of Damesek? Zivach v'kiter l'Elohim, sh'nemar, v'yizbach l'Elohim, dar mesek, hamakim bo, v'yomer ki Elohim malchi aram, heima azrim osam lahem, ezbach v'ya azrini, v'hema yulach shiloh chol Yisrael. So we'll say what happens. Achaz is doing bad stuff. The Ribbono Shel Olam hands them over to the kings of Damasek. And what does he do? What does he do? He starts worshipping their gods. What's his cheshbon? His cheshbon is, well, the gods I was worshipping before obviously didn't help me. Right? My other Avodah Zarah wasn't good. These guys, they have some good Avodah Zarah with them. So I'm going to worship their Avodah Zarah. Totally missing the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu handed him over into his enemies to show that he was engaging in negative behavior. And the logical reaction would have been to do tshuva and to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sachakti. So there's an example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing a Rasha, yet the Rasha not even understanding the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rasha being totally oblivious to ultimately, again, what the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him. Next, Sachakti im Amatzia. I smiled, or I laughed with Amatzia. What did I do for Amatzia? V'nasati malchei Edom biyado. And I handed him, the king of Edom, into his hand. Hevi Eloheim v'shtachav alahem. And what does Amatzia do after he conquers Edom? He begins to worship their gods. Shnei Amar, Vayiach Arichin, Bo Amatzia me'akoses Edomim, Vayaves Elohei b'nei Seir, Vayamidim lo le'elohim lefneim yishtachav alahem yachter. So Bosa, can you imagine this? The Moshe gives Edom into the hands of Amatzia, and Amatzia begins worshiping their gods. So Bosa, what's the point the Gemara is making? The point the Gemara is making is that sometimes people are so ridiculously oblivious to the messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them. Why? Why? Because they become so vested in a particular way of life that Lamaise, again, they can no longer see anything objective. So on one hand, again, you have Achaz being handed over into the hands of the king of Damascus, being punished. And instead of taking this as a Muslim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who just begins worshipping their gods, Amatzio has an incredible victory over Edom. And instead of saying that Ribbono Shel Olam is doing something good for me, begins to worship their gods, which Rabbi Yossi is even more counterintuitive. Why? Why? Because they were just defeated. All right, you want to say Achaz went ahead and worshipped the gods of Damascus because they were the conqueror, they were the winner? Fine. I mean, not fine, but at least I understand it. Amatzio is going ahead and worshipping the gods of the nation who he conquered. What's the pshat? To which he wants Rabbi Yossi to listen to this. Rabbi Papa says, I'm Rav Papa. Haidu Darmi Inshi. We'll say first of the widest lines. This is what people say. Bechi, excuse me. Haidu Darmi Inshi. Bach Yevei Lamar Delo Yada. I cry in front of the master and he doesn't know what I'm talking about. Chayechi Lamar Delo Yada. I smile to the master and he doesn't know what I'm talking about. Vayelei Lamar Delo Yada. Bein Tav Labish. Ultimately, again, I say, oi, in front of the master and he has no idea what I'm talking about. He has no idea how to distinguish between good and evil. Shabbos says another way of just saying, some people are just oblivious. Some people are just living in their own bubble and have absolutely, going back to Gan Emunah, have absolutely no idea how to intuit and how to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell them. Achaz, you're being punished. Amatz, you're being given a bracha. But both is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are some people who are just so wrapped into the narrative, into the life that they've created, that they can't see anything outside of themselves. So the officers of the king of Babel came and they stood at the Tavach gate. What's the Shar Tavach? It's the place where they literally, again, Shemechatchin Bohalachos means, they literally means they cut the halachos. Cut is a lesson of deciding the halachos. Amara Papa, Hanu da Amri Inshi, Ba'asra Demare Tali Le Zaine. We will say this is what the Navi said would happen, is that in the place where the master used to hang his utensils, the master representing the Dayanim, the Tzadikim, so Tala Le, excuse me, Taman Kulba Raya Kulkalta Tala. The lowly shepherd will hang his utensils. The idea is that the gates of the city, which was when the spot ultimately again for the Beis Din to sit and to adjudicate matters of law, will now become the place where the Melech Bavel and his officers will sit. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Yirin Bar Abba, Ma'ay Dechsev, Asad Ish Atzal Avarti. We'll say, actually, we've quoted this pasuk a number of times. It's from Mishlei. A number of times throughout this Masechta. Asad Ish Atzal Avarti. I passed by the field of a lazy man. Valkerem Adam Chasalev. And I passed by the vineyard of a man who literally chasalev means without a heart. So vihine alu ulua kimshonim. Kasu panav charulim. It is overgrown with thorns, thickets, and thistles. Vigeder avadam nerasa. And its stone wall is crumbling. So we'll say, what does this mean? Asa de ish atzal avarti. What does it mean that I passed by the field of a lazy man? So ze achas. So we'll say this refers to achas, because achas had the ability ultimately again to build something, to create something, yet he didn't. And again, I passed by the vineyard of a man ultimately who had no heart. Who is that? Zemenasha. Vihime alukish. I will say the idea over here that he's representing is these people had such fertile soil. These people had the ability to plant, so to speak, had the ability to grow, had the ability to make something beautiful. But instead, they just let the thorns grow. They just let it become overgrown. And therefore, again, there was absolutely nothing productive that came from their fields. Avihine Allah akulo kimshonim. We'll say, and it was overgrown with thorns. Ze Amon. Kasuba, we'll discuss Amon. Ze, not Amon, by the way. Not Amon, the nation Amon. This is King Amon. So the Gemara says, Kasu panav charulim ze yehoyakim. Ultimately, again, it became overgrown with thistles. This refers ultimately, again, to Yehoyakim. Rashi says, we'll say, if you take a look for just a moment, on the left-hand side of Rashi, four lines down, says, Vihine alu kulokim shonim ze Amon shehela shemamis al gabi hamizbeach. Because ultimately, again, he brought the abominations upon the Mizbeach. He covered the Mizbeach, so to speak, with abominations. Well, Shemamisli means he brought desolation upon the Beis Hamikdash, upon the Mizbeach. Kasu upon of Charulim Zeyo Yakim, Shekisa upon of Me'oro Shalak Kodesh Baruch Hu. He covered his face from receiving ultimately again the light of the Ribon Hashalom. The Gedra Avanam Nersa, and the stone wall is crumbling. Zet Sidkio. We'll say this is first at Sidkio. Shenechrav Beis Hamikdash B'yamav. That Sidkio ultimately again, right, so what does it mean the stone wall crumbled? This is the first structure of the Beis Hamikdash during the times of Sidkio. Baruch Chisar B'yamav Bar Abba. Arba Kitos in Mekablim Pnei Shekhinah. This is actually quite an amazing Gemara. There are four groups of people who do not receive the Shekhinah. Four groups of people. Rabosai, ultimately again, now Mekabos Pnei Shekhinah, Rabosai, can mean a couple of different things. Bipashtus, what it means is that even if they're able to get into Olam Haba, they are never able to come in close proximity to the Shekhinah. Alternatively, it could mean that they don't have a Chiluk in Olam Haba. But let's go with the first interpretation. That even if they have a Chiluk in Olam Haba, they're not Mekabos Pnei Shekhinah. Rabosai, who are they? Kat Leitzim, right? We'll say the group of Leitzim. So we'll say Leitzim, who are Leitzim? A letz is someone who turns everything into a joke, right? Nothing is serious. Nothing is serious. A sense of humor is something wonderful. The ability to make jokes is something wonderful. The problem is a person has to know in life there are certain things that are serious and there are certain things that are jokes. You make a joke out of everything, that's being a letz. That's being a letz. So the kat leitzim don't have a portion before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one simple reason. They generally because they haven't earned it. They haven't earned it. Meaning if you spend your life thinking of the one-liners, if you spend your life thinking how to make everything into a joke, generally you don't progress very far. Kat shakranim, liars. Rabbosai, remember, Chosam Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The signet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Ribono Shel Olam, is Emes, is truth. Therefore, if a person is a habitual liar, they can't come in close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Katz Chanifim. So we'll say, Chanifa is, you know, flattery, but it's non-genuine is probably a better word for that. Ungenuine? Non-genuine? Disingenuous flattery. Good, thank you. Disingenuous flattery. So we'll say the idea is it's flattery for the purpose of getting something from someone. I don't really mean what I'm saying to you, but I'm saying to you what I know you like to hear in order that I could get something from you. So we'll say it represents just such an interpersonal dishonesty. An interpersonal dishonesty. So it's the same idea as a kat shakranim. Now again, the difference is it might not be a blatant lie, but it just represents this dishonesty in relationships. Kat misapri lashon hara. And I will say ultimately again, those who speak lashon hara. So these groups are now unable to be makal pnei hashchina. So the Gemara goes through each of them. Kat leitzim dechsev, mashach yadu as lotzim. Kat shakranim dechsev, dovev shkarim lo yikon negedenai. Kat chanifim dechsev, kilo lefan. The Gemara is just quoting psukim just to back up what it just said before. Kilo lefan of chanaf yavol. Kat misapri lashon hara dechsev, kilo kel chafetz rasha ata lo yigur chara. Tzadik ata. So we'll say, what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk in Tehillim. What does the pasuk mean? Lo suuna elecha ra. That literally evil shall not rule over you. Lo ikrav ba'o halecha. It will not come close to you in your tent. Lo suuna elecha ra. What does that mean? Say? So the Gemara says, lo suuna elecha ra. Shalo yishlot b'hen yitzahara. So we'll say, the bracha that David HaMelech is giving, Klal Yisrael, although we'll see, this is actually a bracha that he was giving Shlomo, that the yitzahara shouldn't rule over you. It's a good bracha. Yitzhashen rule over you. V'nega lo yikra v'ohalacha. I'll both say, listen to this. And no affliction should come in your tent. What does that mean? Shelo timsa ishticha safek nida b'shar she'atava min aderech. We'll say, so remember, ohel is usually always a reference to one's tent, to one's home. So v'nega lo yikra v'ohalacha. There shouldn't be an affliction in your tent. I will say, when a man has been away from his wife for a long time, from a journey, so he comes home, and he has a desire for intimacy with her. So the idea is, if a man comes home and his wife is a safek nida, so it's a big, it's a difficult nisayon for a man. Why? So you will say, ish, a woman is a vada nida. So okay, she's nida. What is a man going to do? If she's a safek nida, then what happens? You will say, if she's a safek, then he begins to say, it's probably mutter. I once heard, this, and I'm pretty sure I read this, and I'm pretty sure it's fine. So the idea over here is that a person, chas v'shalom, could end up violating serious yisurim. Davar acher, lo sunu alecha ra, sholi v'as, sholi v'us, shalo yiva sucha chalomos ra'im v'herhurim run. What's the other possibility? What does it mean that evil shall not rule over you? That you shall not be scared by bad dreams and by bad thoughts. V'nega lo yikra v'ohalecha. There shall be no affliction for you in your tent. Shlo yehi lecha bein o talmid shemakdiach tavshilo b'rabim. But listen to this. That he was giving, we'll see in just a moment, that David was giving Shlomo a bracha that you should never have a child or you should never have a talmid who embarrasses you in public. We'll say the idea over here is that lemaisa, again, as much as we always say our children, our talmidim, have their own bechir, they have their own free will to do of them, to do what they want with their lives. And very often, again, what they choose is lav dafka related to the chinuch that I've given a talmid or I've given my child. But at the end of the day, when a talmid or a child does something negative publicly, it is an embarrassment for the Rebbe and it's an embarrassment for the child. Therefore, again, the bracha that David HaMelech gives to Shlomo is you shouldn't have a child and you shouldn't have a talmid who embarrasses you. Ad kan birch bracha aviv. Up until now, this was the bracha that David gave his son. Mikan ve'elech, birchaso imo. From this point forward, right, then this was the bracha ultimately again that Shlomo's mother gave him. So she gives him the bracha that ultimately again the malachim should go ahead and watch over you, and literally you shall be carried upon palms. You shall trample upon the lion and the snake. Adkan birchasu imo. This was the bracha of his mother. Mikan ve'elech birchasu shemaim. Afterwards is the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the Ribono Shel Olam say about saying? Kivi choshok afalteu va'asak ve'u ki adashimi. Shabbos says, then this is the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Shlomo, you should emeritz Hashem, choose to be part of me, ki adashimi, you know my name, yikre'enu v'anei, when you call out to me, I will answer you, imo anochi b'tzara, I'll be with you in good times and in difficult times, achatzei v'achbedeu, ultimately, again, you should enjoy longevity of days, and you should find salvation in my name. It's actually quite beautiful, because we're familiar with this pasuk, and it turns out that in this pasuk is a three-pronged bracha for Shlomo HaMelech. A bracha, ultimately, again, from his father to him, a bracha from his mother to him, and a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Iyov. So literally again, Vayimane Merisham Oram, he literally went ahead and deprived the wicked of light, Uzra Rama Teshaber, and you go ahead and you smash the mighty arm that is literally lifted up, right? Mipnei, so the Gemara is fine. Mipnei Ma Ayin Sharisham Tulin. I will say, you can't see it in your Gemara, but if you look ultimately again in the Tanakh, you'll notice that the ayin of Rishoim is like, it's above the other letters. It's above the other letters. So why is the ayin of Rishoim in this pasuk, why is it written differently than the rest? Listen to this. This is actually an amazing Gemara. Kevan shena'asa adam rash milamata, na'asa rash milamala. Now, Bossi, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. It's in the right-hand column, we'll say, the last of the white lines on top, four lines down from the top. Kevan shena'asa adam rash milamata, shiyesh lo sonin, if a person is despised in this world, right? Meaning, a person doesn't have friends. I don't mean doesn't have friends, like, but a person is disliked in this world. Rashi says, so listen to this. Teaches you that if a person is despised in this world, a person is despised by people, they're despised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. both say, which is quite a dramatic idea. The idea is that sometimes the status of my interpersonal relationships is a litmus test for how HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels about me as well. V'lo nichtev, so the Gemara says, v'lo nichtev eklal. But 1 second, so why don't you just leave out the ayin altogether? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, chat aram nei kvodo shal David, v'chat aram nei kvodo shal Nechemya ben Chachaya. Now, Bosa, listen to this. To teach you that this concept applies to everyone, but not to everyone. What does that mean? Shabbos said, David HaMelech was despised by many people in this world. David HaMelech, it's quite possible, was even despised by more people than his brother. Bosa, you have to understand something. Great people usually become beloved by the masses when? When they're dead, right? We saw this many, many times. I once heard, you know, it's an incredible thing that at a levaya, I think I mentioned this before, at a levaya, I heard Rabbi Moshe Weinberger say this, at a levaya, when they're taking out the mace, everybody stands up. Everybody stands up. Yet, during the lifetime of that person, they might have treated him like a piece of garbage. So what's the shot? Now that he's dead, everybody stands up. When he was alive, nobody gave him really any cover. See, here's the difference. When a person's dead, they become Judaica. So everybody has respect for Judaica, right? I'm saying, Judaica, you treat an incredible... Human beings, I can treat like garbage. But Judaica, mamish, that deserves cover. So the idea that he's saying over here is the following. Kavod HaMelech was mistreated by many people. Nechemya, the Rabbi Nechemya, was mistreated by everyone. So the idea is the concept that the Gemara just espoused is a concept by Rishon. Rishon were despised by everyone in this world, are also despised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't apply to Tzaddikim. Because unfortunately, again, although it's not the norm, there are examples of great people who were despised by many, yet in no way is that indicative, ultimately, again, of their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which I will say, we've seen this motif before in the Gemara many times, which is exceptionally important, how your interpersonal relationships are a litmus test for where you're holding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which I will say makes a lot of sense. If you can't forge normal relationships with people, if you can't get along with people, if you can't get along with someone who's a baser v'dam, who you're able to talk to, interact with, then how are you possibly going to forge a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who you can't see, who you don't really understand? I will say it's the same way, that ultimately, again, if I can't engage in Kabed Es Avicha Ve'es Imecha, if I can't honor my parents, then I can't really honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if I can't go ahead and find a way to honor, leaving aside, I will say, difficulties and complicated dynamics with parents, I'm not talking about those type of situations. I'm talking about in a quote-unquote normal situation. If I can't be mechabed those people who gave me life, then how could I be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I can't even see or really understand. So this idea that how I'm doing interpersonally is an incredible litmus test, ultimately, again, for how I'm doing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, the Menashe HaYesonicham is Shoneh Chamisha V'Chamishim Panim B'Torah. We'll say this, B'Torah's Kohanim. So Menashe, we'll say, used to be able to advance 55 different interpretations in Sefer Vayikra. The boss said, can you imagine that? Not, you know, Bereishis, I hear it. Sefer Vayikra, 55 different interpretations. The boss said, tells you what? That Menashe was an exceptional Talmud Chacham who learned the Torah. Keneged Shnei Machuso. And he did this corresponding to the number of years of his monarchy. He reigned for 55 years, and therefore he used to be able to interpret Sefer Vayikra in 55 different ways. Achov, Shmon Chamisha. The boss said, Achov was such a great Talmud Chacham that he was able to advance 85 different interpretations in Sefer Vayikra. Yeravam, Meo Shlosha. Yeravam, 103 different interpretations in Sefer Vayikra. But say, what's the idea that Gemara is trying to teach us? You know, we look at these people, and they're often, you know, they're called Rishayim. They're called Rishayim. We'll say, they might be called Rishayim, but understand they had the capacity and the great ability to be great tzaddikim. They just made bad decisions. They're the great people who made bad decisions. And I both say, you know, unfortunately, if you're a great person who makes bad decisions, if in life, if you make enough bad decisions, then you become a bad person. Or you become a good person whose just good is so eclipsed that you can no longer see the good. That's the great tragedy of these people. They were all great. They all great, incredible potential. But good people make bad decisions enough, they become bad people. Tanya, Hayra Meir, Meir used to say, Tanya, Hayra Meir Omer, Avshalom, Elochel Gomabo. Avshalom has no portion of the world to come. Shenei Mar, Vayoko es Avshalom Yamiseu. Pasuk says, and they literally, they killed Avshalom, they hit Avshalom, which we'll say, but Vayakum means they killed him. So it mentions that he died twice. Vayakum olamazeh, they killed him in this world, and ultimately he's dead in the world to come as well. Tanya, Reb Shimon Alezer Omer, Mishra Omer, Achaz v'achazyo v'chol malchi yisrosh akasa bohen, Tayas harabe imei Hashem lo chayin v'lo nidra. So it's actually quite interesting. Shimon says the following: that Achaz, Ahaziah, all the evil kings of Israel, where it says that they did that which was evil in the eyes of God, lo chayin v'lo nidonin. Rabbos, listen to this: they don't come back when Mashiach comes. Right, meaning again, that meaning which really means they have no olam haba. I should say it differently: they have no olam haba, but they also don't go to Gehenna. Which, I will say this: I found this fascinating because what the Gemara is saying over here is there seems to be like this in between state of where you're not in olam haba, but you're also not in Gehenna. So what are you doing? What are you doing? You're like hanging out. You're kind of like hanging out for all eternity. So pretty much they're just around. They're just around. So we'll say the idea over here is, by the way, just so you should understand, why are we spending so much time? Right? This is like, you know, as many of you have said to me, we've been doing Agadah for a while to the point that people actually want regular Gemara back, you know, which is, you know, usually in that film we look forward to Agadah, now we're ready for a little bit of regular Gemara. I must say, why are we spending so much time speaking about the Malchi Yisrael, who are such, why are we doing that? I must say, because the Musar is so profound. The Musar is, these were all good men. These were all great men. These were all men with boundless potential. Yet, they made repeated bad decisions. And I both say, the muster for us is, our decisions, big and small, shape who we are. These people also didn't think that their small decisions would shape them, but they did. That's the muster. And the idea is that there are neshamas out there, are people who could have been in the highest levels of Olam Haba, but instead they're just floating around. They were great enough, they had enough tzchusim to get themselves out of Gehenna, but not enough ultimately to get themselves into Olam Haba. Therefore, ultimately, again, they're just floating. They're just floating. So the Gemara says, the Gam Dam Noki Shavach Menashe Harbe Maot Adar Shemilis Shain Pele Pele Varnech Hatosu Shehefti Es Yehuda Lassos Rabbe Nei Hashem. So we'll say, ultimately again, so the Pasuk says, talking about Menashe again, and Menashe spilled an incredible amount of blood until Yerushalayim was filled with blood from one end until the other. So what happened? Meaning, what act of bloodshed does that refer to? What says, one opinion says is that Menashe killed Yeshaya. In Eretz Yisrael they said, "Sha'asat zelam masui elef bnei Adam ubechol yom haragas kulam." Others say that he made this idol. Both say, listen to this avodah zarah. This avodah zarah, the way you worshipped it was, it took 1,000 men to lift it up, but 1,000 men were unable to bear its weight. So what would happen, Abba say? What would happen? The Avodah Zarah would crush 1,000 men. And that was the form of worship. You essentially sacrificed 1,000 men to this Avodah Zarah each and every day. So you can imagine this, that Menashe is doing this each and every day. So of course, Yerushalayim is filled with blood from one end to the other. Kiman azla damra rabbi barachano, shkulin ashama shal tzadik echad keneged kol ha'olam kulo. People say, so whose opinion is reflected in the following statement? Rabbi barachano says that the neshama of a tzadik is the equivalent of the entire world. Kiman damra yeshaya harag. Ultimately, again, people say that would seem to align with the opinion that said that Menashe killed Yishai. So we'll say two opinions. Either Menashe killed Yishai and Navi, and killing Yishai was like filling Yerushalayim in its entirety with blood, or that literally he killed thousands of people every single day, or thousands of people over the course of his reign through Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ksiv psalacha uksiv psilim. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, what does this mean? Betchila asal appearance of Echad. So we'll say now, again, we're talking about Menashe. So Menashe went ahead and erected an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Metchila Asala Pirtzuf Echad. In the beginning, so the idol only had one face. Lebasof Asala Arba Pirtzufim. Then he made four faces for the idol. Why? One for each direction. Kedei Shetira Shechina V'tichos. So listen to this. So Menashe was like such a lahachisnik that what happened? He made four faces on the idol. So this way, quote unquote, whichever direction the Shechina enters into the Beis HaMikdash, you should see my idol. Right? So we'll say, so this is an incredible like lahachisnik. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Achos ha'amidu ba'aliyah. Achos put Avodah Zarah in the upper story of the Beis HaMikdash. Shneemar, ve'es ha'mizbechos ashar lagag aliyas Achos. Menashe ha'amidu ba'heichol. Menashe put an idol in the heichol, which is about the primary part of the Beis HaMikdash. Shneemar, v'yosem es pesa asher she'azer Beis Hashem, v'vayis asher amar Hashem al David v'al Shlomo. V'vayis zeb Yerushalayim asher bachartim mikol shivtei Yisrael, osim eshmi li olam. Amon hichnis labeis kadshei kadosha. We'll say Amon put an idol in the kodesh kadoshim. Shene emar ki katzar amatzia mehashtara v'amaseich atzara kaz kanes mai. Mai ki katzar amatzah mishtasheh. So we'll say the Gemara over here is quoting the pasuk from Yeshaya. Ki katzar hametzah mishtasheh mehishtareya. Literally what this means is, means the couch, right, the bed, is too short for someone to stretch out on, and the cover is too small to cover me. So what does this mean? What does it mean the couch is too short to stretch out on? First wide line, the Beis HaMikdash, I will say, it's like, this town is too small for the two of us. The Beis HaMikdash is not big enough for two deities. It's only the Ribbono Shel Olam's home. It's not big enough to accommodate Avodah Zarah. Mai v'amaseich atzara. What does it mean that literally, again, the cover is very narrow and therefore can't accommodate both of us? Amar Shomar Nachmani, Rabbi Yochanan, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Shomar Nachmani said, Rabbi Yochanan kevimot l'haikra, havi kabachi. When Rabbi Yochanan used to get to this pasuk, he would cry. Why? Misha nechtavo konis kanei miayam. So we'll say, the one about whom it says, Ayid Ribbono Shel Olam, about whom it says, konis kanei miayam, he makes the sea into furrows. We'll say, it's a reference to Yamsuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea. Yata salom aseich atzara. Should his cover become too small to cover him? In other words, we'll say that how sad it is that the Ribbono Shel Olam's home was turned into a base avodah zara. Achaz bitul asavodah v'chasam es haTorah. So Achaz negated. He stopped the avodah in the base of Mikdash. We'll say v'chasam es haTorah. Now chasam es haTorah means he sealed off the Torah, which sounds like he prevented Torah study. Shnei Amar tzur teuda chasam Torah b'lemudai Menasha. Supposed to listen to this. Menashe took every sefer Torah that he could find and scratched out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vaharas es hamizbeach, and he destroyed the mizbeach. Amon, saraf es haTorah. King Amon went ahead and burnt the Torah. Vehela shemamis al gabi hamizbeach. I will say, shemamis literally means cobwebs. He caused cobwebs to grow, so to speak, which means what? It fell into non-use. Achos, Hitir es ha'erva. So Achaz permitted immorality. Menashe ba'al achoso. Menashe violated his sister. Amon ba'al imo. Amon had relations with his mother. Shene emar. The idea is that these individuals ultimately, again, are allowing the most depraved of practices. Meaning, we'll say, you know, interestingly enough, whenever people breach boundaries, it's a davar yadua that it's only a matter of time until immorality comes on the scene. Meaning, avodah zarah always leads to arayas. Because the whole idea is, if you don't live with a framework, if you don't live with a structure, so the idea is, sexual immorality is always sure to follow. Because morality, I will say, because the thing that man desires most in this world is immorality. So that's kept in check when we live within a framework of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the moment you break down that framework, we see this again, the effects of living in a society where there's a push for godlessness is that anything goes, where there's no God. And by the way, not just Jewish, when there's no God, when there's no higher power that dictates to you that there are rules, then anything goes. And when anything goes, again, immorality is sure to follow. So again, once there's avodah zarah, Menashe is having relations with his sister, Amon is having relations with his mother, Shinemar, Kiyu Amon Harbe Ashma, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar Amar, Chad Amar Shesaref Es haTorah. One opinion says, he burned the Torah, V'chad Amar Sheba'al Imo. And the other opinion said that he went ahead and he had relations with the mother. So listen to this. Amar la imo. So as he's going to have relations with his mother says to him, Klum yesh lecha hana mimakom sheyatzas mimenu. Meaning, his mother is giving him mussar because b'pashtos, she was not complicit in this act. So she says to him, are you going to have any pleasure from entering the place where you came out of? In other words, I don't understand. A person could have a taiva for all kinds of immorality, but incest with one's mother, I will say, meaning his mother's saying, this is like pasha abnormal. He's just thinking, how are you even going to enjoy this act? Amar Leih, so listen to what he says. Klum ani oseh el hachis es bori. So what is he saying? Mom, this is not about pleasure. This is about an active rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I will say, just like this twistedness that exists within this kingdom, but again, this we'll say, the whole muster is consistent bad decisions, consistent bad choices lead you to places in life that you never thought you would encounter. So the Gemara goes weiter. Kiyasi Yoyakim Amar Kamai Lo Yodi Lagozi Right Kulum. Ani Tzuchin. So let's listen to this. Yoyakim says, when Yoyakim comes along, he says, those early kings, they did not know how to go ahead and anger God at all. I'll show them how to anger. Kamai Lo Yodi Lagozi. Kulum Ano Tzuchin El Oro. What do we need God for? The thing we need God for is the sun, right? Is light. But even now, Yesh Ano Zav Parvim, which is, we don't even need God for light. Why? Because we have Parvim gold. So Parvim gold, apparently, also is very luminescent. Shalom Mishtam Shinbo, Yito Oro, let God take back his son. So we'll see, Yoyakim was essentially saying, we don't need God for anything. We don't need God for anything. All we need him for is the sun. Now you have this Parvim gold, it gives off enough light, we'll be just fine. Amrulo, Barlo Kesev Zav Shalom. But one second, Yoyakim. The pasuk says that the gold and silver belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnei Amar Liakesev Liazav Nu Hashem Tzvakos. Amar Lahem Kevar Nasnu Lanu. No, it's too late. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gave it to us. Why? Because the pasuk says Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem Ba'aretz Nasan Lebnei Adam. God has already given us the earth. Therefore, it's already ours. And therefore, again, God, we don't need you anymore. Amar Li Rava LaRabba Bar Mari Mivnei Ma Lo Manu Es Yoyakim. So why isn't Yoyakim included in the list of people who don't have a chilek in Olam Haba? Why isn't he included in the list of kings? Mishum Dechsid Bei V'Yeser Dibri Yoyakim B'Tov Asav Asher Asav Anim Tzalav My Vanim Tzalav. We'll listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar Chad Amar Shechaka Kshim Avodas Kochavim Ala Maso V'Chad Amar Shechaka Kshim Shemayim Ala Maso. We'll say, just you want to understand how bad Yoyakim was. So one says that he went ahead and he tattooed the name of the Avodah Zorah on his Mako Mila. On his Mako Mila. What Rabbi said, what he tattooed the name of Avodah Zorah on his Mako Mila. So ultimately, again, the Mila represents, bless you, represents a bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. By tattooing the name of the Avodah Zorah on his Mako Mila, what he was doing is he was negating the very essence of our bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Others say that in fact he tattooed the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his Mako Mila. Right, you're both saying now again, obviously that was an act of just blatant disrespect, right? Whatever that's even, not even the right word for that, but blatant disrespect. So we'll say, so the idea is, so this certainly is a guy who deserves to be on that list of kings who don't have a chiluk in Olam Haba. The truth is, I don't know why he's not included in that list. But ultimately, again, I'll tell you by Yotos Rabosai. So I don't know why Yoyakim is not included. But I will tell you that in the list of commoners, there was one name that was missing from that list. Rabosai, who was one name that was missing from that list? Micha. Remember again, who's Micha? We learned about Micha. Micha was the baby that Moshe Rabbeinu pulled out from the structure. He was a baby that was thrown into the structure because they didn't have enough bricks. Moshe Rabbeinu pulls him out. He becomes a ridiculous Avodah Zarah. Rabosai, Rashi just tell you this very quickly. Rashi points out, Micha, where does Micha get his Avodah Zarah? Rashi says something amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu, when it's time to leave Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu has a sacred task. What's the sacred task? He has to take the remains of Yosef. Yosef, there are multiple Midrashim, but according to one Midrash, Yosef was buried in the Nile. His casket was led and was put in the Nile. Moshe Rabbeinu goes in and takes a piece of pottery, and he writes upon it, Alei Shor, rise, right, because Yosef HaTzadik is called the Shor. Throws it into the Nile, the remains, Yosef's casket rises to the top of the Nile, they take it. Micha took that pottery shard. He grabbed it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't retrieve it after he was finished. He took it. Micha takes it with him. Micha was the one who threw this into the fire by the eagle. He was going to throw it into the fire ultimately again when they were smolting all of the gold, which caused the eagle to come out. Micha was an incredible Ovid Avodah. Micha took idols from Egypt. Everybody else is taking gold and silver from Egypt. Micha's taking idols with him. He takes idols with him through the split sea. While the sea is split and the Jews are walking on the seabed, Micha says, you want to worship? You want to worship? You want to come with me? You want to chop an iron over here? We'll make a mezuzah with the idol. Right? We'll bow down a little bit there. Mamish walking through the split sea and Micha is worshiping Avodah Zarah. He then sets up his own temple in itself. So why doesn't he, why isn't he included in the list of people who don't have the chilul haravos? So listen to this, and with this we're going to stop. Tell you straight down the barisha. Mipnei malo manu. Es Micha. Because Micha was exceptional in his achnasas archim. Because whenever you came to Micha's house, he was always willing to offer you a meal. I was like, can you imagine this? Mamish, the guy's ridiculous. Ovid Avodah Zarah. Yet, he was hospitable. So I'll say ultimately again, that's the pasuk. That whoever would pass by his home and you were hungry, ultimately again, there was always a place for you in Micha's home to eat. So we'll say because Micha was proficient in Avodah Zarah, but because he was proficient in Achnasas Archim, ultimately again, he has a chiluk. So we'll say, we'll stop over here. I'll share with you a very short vart on the parasha.